My name is William K. Robbins, Jr. Most people know me by Bill.
When did you start with the Rock Island?
Seniority date was July 14, 1966, and I was with them till the end.
What did you do?
I was a brakeman and conductor, and I was actually off in December and January and February for cancer surgery. I was okay to go back to work on March 17th, and they closed on the 18th.
So. That's rough. So tell me, what was it like running the passenger train? I guess it was the doodlebug?
We had the ORDC cars that were not properly sprung. They rode roughly, but that's what we had for a passenger coach. I actually rode those cars several years earlier when they were just an independent unit, and they rode good, but after they took the engines out from under it, didn't respring them, they rode pretty bad. But
tell me about that. You were on the last which train?
Yeah, I was work number 22, the last eastbound train through Arkansas. Got on at Boonville and went through to Memphis. I'd have to go back and look at the date. That I know Frank Worsted was our conductor, and I'm trying to remember who in the heck the other brakeman was. I think it was Verbeck, but I'm not for sure. I'd have to go back and look at my pictures. Well, I've got all the train orders and clearances and everything for the last train 22 from Boonville to Memphis.
What was the mood like, on that final run, knowing that was the end of passenger service?
Well, we knew it was. We didn't have two or three passengers on the car. But, that was just the last one. And basically, you knew when you got to Memphis, you're going to have to deadhead back to Little Rock, and you were okay bumping. So, but I liked it because it's a darn good place to be braking in the wintertime. Man, I've had some times I'd be out flagging and there near freeze to death, but I thought I was anyway. But
So what'd you do after the passenger service stopped?
Well, then I went down on the branch. I always tried to stay on jobs that number one was off on Sunday, and number two, you didn't have to live by the telephone. And so then I went down, I think, on a Malvern PM switcher after that, and then I was on the Malvern Camden local till they pulled it off south of Sparkman, and then I fit my last 2 years on the West End. And
and how long did you stay with the Rock Island?
Well, I was there, what was it, about 14 years from 66 to 80. Yeah, and
all the way to the end. So what was it like there, all those years? What stories, I guess, stick out?
Well, when I hired out on Rock Island in 66, it was still in pretty good shape. We just saw it going down. And at one time up on the West End, it was 116 miles from Biddle Yard to Boonville, and there was 120 cars laying in the ditch. They just let the track go to pot, and if you can't run, you can't compete. That's what I keep harping on my boys all the time. We're in the railroad business, so. We had some interesting situations. We had some real characters that worked out there. And matter of fact, with Anderson there, I hired out in 66, and in November of 66, just before I went on the passenger train the first time, we had a car come loose, the side frames come off the trucks, come back four cars ahead of the caboose, and come back and hit the caboose at Madison. We drug it all the way through the bridge, derailed, and anyway, the things that happened after that got rather comical, but at the time it wasn't too comical. But
sure. Any accidents or any scares in your time?
Well, yeah. One night we were leaving Butterfield on 88. The Hot Springs local, and we were so heavy that the Malvern PM switcher had to put our hind end on. We couldn't back up the hill to get it. We took off, going down through old Rayburn, and went in emergency, and basically we wadded up 35 of them there, and we walked around and went on in there. We kind of got a handle on everything, and then in 78 or 79, I can't remember which, we derailed at Waveland at 11 o'clock at night, and the fireballs were going up so big I didn't have to use a lantern to walk around town. And yeah, we had a car of pentane, a car of cyclohexane went up. We had 7 cars of molten sulfur. We had one piggyback that was full of denim remnants. And it's only thing left of the trailer was the axles. It melted it down. And then another time we derailed going around the curve just east of, I'll think of the name of the place in a minute. Anyway, we tore down one steel span on the Fushler Flea River Bridge with a derailment. I had to crawl under the cars to get across the bridge. But it's, we had several incidents. It was rather unusual. No, still, we worked with, most of the guys got along real well. We had a few antisocials, I guess you might say. But, and of course, we come to something like this, and, you know, there's not near as many of us as there was. Still enjoy it.
Railroad's been shut down 36 years.
So. Yeah, 36 years. Yeah, I was 44 years old, 6 months out of cancer surgery. I couldn't get a job anywhere. So I went back to my previous occupation of that of an aircraft mechanic and did that for about 3 years. And I could see that that place wasn't lasting very long. So I built 2 breeder hen houses, operated them for 3 years, and then had a chance to buy the DNR Railroad at Russellville, and I bought it. And we've added 3 more railroads to it, and switching services and an aviation operation.
Oh, so, wow, good for you.
Yeah, so that was the Dartnell and Russellville Railroad. It was originally built, ran August the 15th of 1883 was the first trip, and it's the oldest continuously operating short line in the state of Arkansas.
Wow.
And then we own Washita Railroad, which used to operate from El Dorado to Lilly, Louisiana. It's Old Rock Island. That's my piece of the rock. And but we abandoned it back because we hadn't had a train down there in 15 years. We figured, well, we might as well pull it up. So. And then we have the Camden and Southern at Cullendale, the OIP paper mill site. And then we have the North Louisiana Gulf Railroad. Runs from, we own it from McGee to Lake Village, and then we lease it from the state of Arkansas from Lake Village to State Line, and then from the State Line to the Port of Lake Providence. We lease that from the Port of Lake Providence, and we operate that.
Uh-huh. So how'd you come to want to own short lines?
I've always been fascinated by short lines ever since 1960, and I would study everything that I could find about them. And so I had a very, very unique opportunity in 88. I bought the DNR, and we just built it from there.
So. It's nice to see the couple of short lines still operating Some Rock Island track. And, you know, the Little Rock Western is kind of where they picked up.
Yeah.
Stretch and what else? Is
Little Rock and Western, and then Arkansas Midland.
All right.
Operate some track there out from North Little Rock out to where Maybelline is. I forget the name of that station now. Uh-huh. Like I say, it's been 36 years. But no, I see. What else? Well, then Arkansas Midland also operates from Malvern to Hot Springs.
That's right. And, glad to see that track still in use. So
yeah. Yeah, I had a chance to look it over a few years ago when number 2 son, he's a lieutenant colonel in the guard, he took command of the 1st Battalion, 153rd Infantry, and the ceremony was right there next to the track. So I had a chance to go look at it a little bit. I run across there no telling how many times.
What do you think was the mistake that the Rock Island made?
Well, it's a huge mistake that it got tore up from Perry or from Danville to Oklahoma, because that entire region of the state is devoid of any opportunities to grow as far as industry or anything goes. I worked trying to save it back then, and Western Arkansas Planning Development District was there, and he told Boomer, he said, well, you don't have a river, and you don't have a freeway. This railroad's your only way of getting out. But as you look now, after 36 years, what industries were there are gone. They had to leave. And there's no, well, like Boomer used to be a very thriving town. It's now a bedroom community for Fort Smith. And it would cost so much to put it back that I don't think it'll ever be put back. But Arkansas has a very rich short line history, particularly all the big lumber companies in South Arkansas used to have their own rail lines. And then, of course, Alcoa had the Bauxite Northern there at Bauxite and Benton. There's a big history here. I know Bill Pollard has got a pretty good breakdown of them. I'll put in a plug for Bill. He and the late Gene Hull spent 6 years writing a book on the history of Russellville there, the Darnell and Russell Railroad and Bernice Anthracite Company. The Darnell Pontoon Bridge and Turnpike, that was, at the time, was the largest pontoon bridge in the world there. And then the Bernice Anthracite Company. And when I took the railroad over, I found just absolutely tons of historical data. As a matter of fact, in the vault in the office, I've got the handwritten corporate minutes all the way back to 1883. It's beautiful handwriting, but you have to study it to read it because we're so used to the printed page. But we have a lot of detail there. So.
What's the biggest challenge running a small, short line?
Well, basically bringing more and more regulation on to us that pertains more to the big carriers than to the small ones. But for an industry really needs to get onto a short line rather than the big carriers, because we can give them the personalized service that they want, because we don't have the multitude of barriers that the big railroads have. And so we give them a customized service to what they need. And this is how I've managed to survive the last, from 88 to now, 28 years. So I knock on doors and I said, I don't need your business. I got to have it. What do I got to do to get it? And then I get it. So that's the way to get about it.
And in terms of how the Rock Island ended, I mean, were you sad to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just had to say go. Matter of fact, I had just been in my first pool turn west as a conductor. And then I had to take off for cancer surgery. Never got to make a trip. So. But,
are you surprised it shut down?
Well, it'd been in trouble, but all the railroads now are saying they made a huge mistake by not keeping that line open. The guys on the Cotton Belt did not want to see that merger go through, because from Brinkley, where we crossed the Cotton Belt, from Brinkley to L.A., it was 565 miles shorter to go the Rock Island and Santa Fe route through the northern New Mexico to take the SP route, which went down on the southern border. And they could have saved four crew districts and a lot of local. It'd been very much. And now then they wish that they had it, because the tracks that they have kept are now just about capacity. So, well, again, it just takes too much money to put it back.
Rock Island maybe could have survived a few more years with the deregulation.
That's the thing about it. See, Steiger's Act happened about that time, and nobody really knew what they could do or couldn't do. Now, 10 years later, they knew what they could do, and railroads were shedding branch lines and picking up other lines. But if historians look at the railroad history, parallel railroad mergers like Erie, Lackawanna, Conrail, that mess, they don't work. But end-to-end mergers work real well. And that was where the northeast part of the United States got in trouble with their parallel mergers up there. That and some ridiculous union contracts.
Any other stories? Anything else stick out to you about your time on the Rock Island?
No, other than I just, of course, I'm a rail fan. I always have been. I was 7 years old when I rode my first locomotive in Paris, Texas. Dad was hustling down there on the Frisco. And then I ran my first one there at Fort Smith when I was 9. So I was hooked and have been hooked all my life. I really enjoyed my 14 years on Rock Island. It wasn't without its problems, but problems just out there to be solved. And we solved most of them.
I've heard Rock Island was really a family railroad.
It was. As a matter of fact, I see Bobby Joe Franklin's widow over there. Come to find out, some girls I grew up with in Fort Smith was grade school sweetheart. They're kin to the Franklins, and we didn't figure that out till here about 3 years ago. But Buzzy asked me one time if I knew where there's any Packard automobiles. He was thinking about buying a Packard. Well, thanks to his alerting me on Packard, I now own 3 Packards. I've got a 1941 Club Coupe, I got a 1953 convertible, and a 1955 two-door hardtop, amongst the others that I've got. I have planes, trains, and automobiles.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I can tell a story on Buzzy. Uh-huh. You might not watch this on the tape.
Oh, that probably makes it.
But L.T. Walker was our local chairman. And LT always wore a Comer cap and overalls and mostly a white shirt. Sometimes they were colored. But anyway, Tillman caught the job as a conductor on the Hot Springs Local. And so he put on a fedora rather than a Comer cap. So the guys on the switcher were down there at the little depot shelter and, shall we say, they had anesthetized themselves to the heat and what have you. Anyway, they looked up and saw this guy coming wearing a fedora, and he scared them. They thought it was an official. Well, Tillman showed up down there, and Buzzy said, "Good Lord," Tillman said, "you look like a Louisiana clap doctor." And that nickname stuck with him to the day he died.
I interviewed the first Rock Island employee I ever talked to. It was LT back in 1988.
Yeah, LT. I'll tell you what, a lot of people didn't like LT, but when they got in trouble, they wanted LT. And I was a rear brakeman for LT for a long time on that Hot Springs Local and some other jobs, because LT would talk to me about various investigations and things they'd been into. And that's one reason why I got a good insight into our contract, was just talking with him. So consequently, he retired, and everybody was hollering at me, hey, what about this? I said, y'all paid attention. But anyway, no, I was the vice chairman of the local for a number of years, and then, of course, you, as a union member, you could ask anybody to represent you in investigations, and then I represented several of them because I'm not bragging, but I did know the rule book. I had guys holler on the radio about a train order or something. But I studied it, and I studied it hard. So, and I survived. That's the only thing I can say.
LT was great. Boy, he could talk your ear off. He could tell a detailed story.
Well, yeah, he went into much detail. And see, that's why I would sit and listen to it. He'd go into such detail, and I'd pick up the details. So it was a real education for me working with Tillman. And of course, Tillman comes from the metropolitan area. I own Arkansas. Now, those who look up a map, look on Highway 23 south of Bova, about halfway between there and 71 Highway is the community I own. And Tillman was a very good football player. So Waldron paid him to come to Waldron to school, and he got a football injury. You know, he had a tick. Well, that's where he got it, was from playing football at Waldron. So, yeah, he was. Everybody, every official knew LT, and they always knew he was fair. Consequently, you couldn't have a better man in an investigation representing an LT. But, luckily, I only needed his services once, and he got us out of it with 20 demerits.